that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your love, your mercy, and your grace, for this day that you have given us and the opportunity to come into your house to worship. And Father, we thank you for the desire that you placed in our hearts to gather together. In your word, it says, forsake not the assembling, Lord, together, one praying one for another. And God, as we come into the sanctuary tonight, we do that, Lord, in remembering, Lord, your precious gift that you gave to us on the cross of Calvary. Father, I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear. Let it produce growth and edification into our spirit that we might be submissive and obedient to your holy and precious will. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I may rely on this one a little bit if I can use this one. Again, pardon my scratchy voice. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, Abide in His Love. First of all, I want to read the definition, the Hebrew definition, the word that is used for abide. It means to remain. Everybody say that with me. Remain. Endure. Persevere. Say that again with me. Remain, endure, and persevere. They all sound like good buzzwords, don't they? Amen. But they're words of action. Every one of those words are words of action. And the action has to be on our part. We know that his love, I mean, is gracious. We know that his blessings are immense. We know that his attention is always on us. There's not a thing that we do. There's not a place that we go. There's not a word that is spoken that our Lord and Savior doesn't know about us. He knows everything there is about us. And I thank God for that relationship. And as many have said, he knows me and he loves me anyway. And that is because of his mercy and grace. But Jesus makes a statement here, and these are not just words to throw around. These are the words of Christ, our Savior. And as John began to note and to write these down, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Understanding that there may be other vines, there may be other movements, there may be other situations where people turn their affection to, but Jesus said, I am the true vine. And he also said, he said, except you abide in me, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And not only did he say, I am the true vine, but he gave instruction on how to abide in his love. The Lord dealt with me upon this situation, and there's so many scriptures in the Bible that speaks about God's love. And every one of us here tonight is the recipient of God's love. And let me share something with you. We're the recipient of God's love whether we're saved or not. Amen? Because he allows us to have that breath. He allows us to have strength. He allows us to be blessed upon measure. But listen, it's greater when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. Even we're more blessed than that. And thank God for that. But even as Sister Brenda was talking about, even when we were out in sin and we had not given or devoted our life to the Lord, we were still very blessed. Blessed to be able to move around and to receive the anointing of God and the blessings of God and breathe this wonderful air. But it's something special when we have that relationship with him. But as I began to think about that, and Jesus told the disciples here, these are his followers, and he told them to abide, remain, endure, and persevere in my love, in my love. And I thought about that. Why would anyone ever want to step out of the bounds of the love of the Lord? You know, voluntarily, I don't think anybody would raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm just going to get away from his love for a while. But the things that he was talking about, if we do not remain, if we do not endure, if we do not persevere, then we're dangerously slipping away from God's love. Not that he quits loving us, but we're leaving that precious love, amen, that he has given us. And the instructions are to remain. The first thing that I want to talk about tonight, and Jesus describes himself as a vine. Probably each and every one of us are aware of what a vine is. That is the life-giving substance to the plant. The plants are beautiful, and they bud out, and they're precious, and they're sweet-smelling. But you take them away from the vine, and they'll dry up, and they can't live without that vine. They can't live without that attachment. So the first thing that I want to talk about tonight, and it is to stay attached. To stay attached to the vine, amen. And you know, when we stay attached to the vine, you know that we can endure a lot of things. We can remain there in his blessings, and we can also persevere when the storms come. I've seen bushes and trees and fruits and things like that be tossed to and fro, but as long as they remain attached to that vine, they're going to grow and they're going to be produced. There's too many times today that we want to kind of light out on our own. Amen. Sometimes we want to go and we want to do things without God's counsel, without God's guidance. And I'm very guilty of that. In my past, there's times that I saw something, or times that I desired something, or times that I just kind of felt to do this. And many, many times I would go and not even ask whether it be the will of the Lord. And you know, and I'm not talking about just kind of, you know, doing your own thing and all, but I'm talking about maybe even as far as searching for a scripture or searching for a sermon, or asking God to give me a something to teach on. And when I see something that maybe I like or something that tantalizes me, then maybe I want to share that with the congregation. But then if I fail to ask God's guidance, and I fail to ask the Lord to lead me, and Lord, is this what we need? All of his word is wonderful, but there's times, how many knows that there's times that God has special times and special needs in the congregation, and he wants those to be addressed, and we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit when we stand in the pulpit, when we stand to teach, or whatever, even songs that we sing. I believe the songs that need to be anointed. I believe that every one of you singers that sing special songs, there's times that you don't just sing a song because you like that melody. You sing a song because God laid that song on your heart, and you know many, many times that song really reaches out and it touches the congregation. That's because it was meant for that time, and God anointed that song, anointed the words for that. So we need to stay attached. And how do we stay attached to the Lord? Everywhere that God goes, we go with him. Amen. We just don't let go. We stay attached, just like Jacob did when he was wrestling with the angel. You know, there'd been an easy time to give up and say, this is too difficult. Just as many walks in our lives, many times we'll say, you know what? This is just too tough. It's too hard. Lord, you're asking too much out of me. I've surrendered my life to you. I try to be obedient. I try to be submissive, but it's just beginning to be too difficult. But that's where we begin to step on dangerous ground, when we try to withdraw ourselves from God. God's not going to withdraw himself from us as long as we stay submissive and obedient, amen, and pleasing unto the Lord. But many, many times we kind of tend to sort of stray away a little bit from that true vine. And I'm not saying just go off on our own so many times, but many, many times we'll just kind of draw cold. But we need to be able to stay attached. And how many knows that's going to take some difficulty? It's going to take some difficulty to be able to stay attached and to stay in connection with the Lord. You know how I'd have found the greatest, if you want to call it tool, or the greatest practice that I found to be able to stay attached, is prayer unto God. I mean, really sincere, earnest prayer. Praying the will of God in my life. Because so many times, if we go on and on and on without prayer, let me tell you, I don't believe we get enough prayer just through the services that we attend in, during the week. Thank God that we pray. We open the church with prayer. We dismiss the service with prayer. We have special requests that we pray. We even open the altar and allow folks to come and we pray for them. But if we're just banking on the time that we spend in church to pray and only that, I believe we're missing out on a great opportunity. And I believe that in order to really stay attached to God's will, and that's what I'm talking about, staying attached to God's will, because we cannot bear fruit if we're not attached. We can't bear fruit on our own. We can't. Because the Bible says here, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. And when we become dislocated or when we become unattached to the vine, then we're no longer able to produce that fruit. And Christ is talking here, the thing that pleases him, the thing that he expects out of us is to produce fruit. And not just to produce fruit, but also to produce more fruit. And we can't do that unless we stay attached. And I thought about that saying, staying attached. You could use other scenarios. You could use other names. You could use other phrases. But something about staying attached means something that we've got to do on our part. Amen? To hold on and to not let go. How many remembers the game tug of war? You remember the rope and the pit and you know, the side that usually lost was the side that lost contact with the rope. Because you were pulling in unison. You was pulling as one. You was pulling as a team. And there's a lot to be said for that. How many knows that we are with brothers and sisters and when we come into the house of the Lord? Amen. And if when we become unattached, when we become trying to do things on our own, that's when many, many times we'll stray from being attached to God. Not just as his love, but attached to God's will. And it's dangerous when we do that, because when we do that, we're on the verge, amen, of not abiding in his love. And again, what does it mean to abide? Stay there. And how many has ever been told to stay there? I know in military phrase, sometimes it says, hold that position. Amen. You men that have been in the army and the military, that means to hold that position at all cost. I was reading not long ago of a battalion that was outnumbered, and they were the ammunition and the weapons that they had were really not sufficient. But they had the command to hold that position. If they would not hold that position, then the enemy would overrun them and it would mess up with another plan that they were trying to take a city. And I can't remember exactly. I think the battle was in or around Germany there. But these men, they took it upon themselves not to give up. It looked like, you know, they was going to be overrun, Brother Jim. It looked like the thing to do was throw your weapon down and take off running, but they held that position. And it wasn't that the position itself was worth anything, but they was holding it so that the rest of the army could get the supplies and the military assistance that they needed to have this great battle. So they held it, and I thought many, many times, you know, holding the position, sometimes it doesn't look that lucrative. It doesn't look like it's that sensational. But I'm a firm believer, and if God has given us something, we need to hold that position. We need to hold that ground. And then we told Joshua, he said, everywhere that you step, he said, I'm going to give you that ground. So staying attached to God's will enable us to abide in his love. The second thing, and this is something that probably does not sound that attractive, but it's part of the will of the Lord, we need to prepare to be purged. Prepare to be purged. Now, when we're talking about purging, what are we talking about? There's some cutting away, aren't there? There's some pruning back. And that's beneficial. It may hurt. You know, many, many times, you know, you take a beautiful bush. You take a beautiful azalea, but that azalea is going to have to be purged. That azalea is going to have to be cut back and pruned so that it can bring forth more buds, so that it can be more fruitful. It's not a pleasant time. It's not a pleasant time to go to the Lord, and instead of feeling a blessing and anointing, we're feeling like we're being torn. We feel like we're being molded. We feel like we're being mashed down. But I can tell you that is the more productive time that we're going to have, because it's going to produce greater fruit. It's going to be give us the ability to hold on tighter and to stay attached. So in abiding in God's love, abiding in the love of the Lord, prepare to be purged, because he said he purgeth it, not that it needs punishment, not that he doesn't love it. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Can I tell you today, I believe the church is too satisfied with just the little fruit that they're bearing. We pretty much pat ourselves on the back when we have a good crowd. We kind of feel pretty good when we've had a good service. But you know what? We need services sometimes where the Spirit of the Lord does nothing but prune us back, purgeth us, and cause us to be able to bring forth more fruit. Not only more fruit in our lives, amen, but more fruit, praise God, for testifying and witnessing to the lost of this world, amen. I know we have blessings, I know we have anointings, but think about it. When's the last time we've had people come into the house of the Lord that was lost and found the Lord Jesus? And we can never have enough of that. We need to be about the Lord's business constantly. In order to do that, prepare as a Christian, prepare as a child of God for situations sometimes that are not really that pleasant. Amen. It's really not that pleasant when the Lord comes into our life and he begins to purge us. But when he purges us, it causes us to bring forth more fruit. Now, this is the thing about it too. In Christ writing here, he tells us not only to bring forth fruit, but he says bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Now, when you say bring forth fruit, I don't know what the average person's idea of bringing forth fruit is. Is it a couple of testimonies of the week? Is it a couple of Bible scriptures a week? Is it a Bible study? Or is it a time of prayer? But whatever it is, that individual person, whatever they do, that seems to be the fruit that they're bearing. Amen? The fruit that they're bearing. And you know what? Fruit shows up. Amen? you find a bush, you find a vine, you find a tree, amen, and if that tree is bearing, it's going to get noticed, amen. It don't have to wave its branches and say, hey, look at here what I'm doing. I mean, because the reality is the fruit is being brought forth, so we can see that, we can taste of that, and I believe that we can do that as children of God. But not only just to bring forth fruit, but to bring forth much fruit. How many knows that we can even exceed our expectations? I believe that we can even go a little further than we think we can. Amen. And not to do it just because it's we want to please ourselves, but do it to please the Lord and do it to bring forth much fruit. If you're producing fruit, and I'm talking spiritual fruit here, okay? If you're producing fruit at a pretty good slide and you're doing things, why not push yourself to do a little bit more? Not for recognition, amen, not for a pat on the back, but do it because the Lord told us to do that. And let me just be honest with you, and please, I don't offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings, but this is reality. Some people can bring forth more fruit than others. That's just a given. But don't get discouraged if you're not able to produce as much fruit as someone else. Just produce more than you think you can. And God will be satisfied with that. I believe with all of my heart. He gives different people a different abilities, different talents. Even in the Bible, he gave 1, 5, and 10, I believe it was. And he didn't give them all the same amount. But what it was, they took that and they produced more. They increased that. And if the Lord has given you a ministry, increase that ministry. If the Lord has given you an ideal blessing of testimony or witnessing, see how much you can get from that. See how much you can push that. And when the Lord blesses you, even produce more. And you'll be surprised what you can do for the Lord. Not that we can do it, because the Bible says without him we can do nothing, but with him we'll be able to produce much more fruit. Only if you abide in him. Now, if you strike out on your own and say, well, look what I'm going to do, or this, that, and the other, the Bible says that, he said, without me you can do nothing. And if you detach yourself from that vine, you're going to dry up and blow away or swivel away, aren't you? And I thought about that. No matter how many the blooms or how much the fruit has been produced on that one particular branch or vine, if you break that thing off, come on, If you break it off, if it becomes detached, it's not going to produce anymore. It has produced its last thing. But if it stays attached, if it stays attached. And let me tell you something. I am not a gardener. Me and my wife have killed more plants than we care to mention. If you want a plant to live its last days, give it to us. Her mother can take just a little cutting, and she puts this root all in it or something, and in weeks she's got that thing blooming, and it's wonderful. So I want to tell you that because there is hope if you've been broken. Somebody ought to thank the Lord. Amen. There's hope if you've been broken. Now, if you're like me, if you try to patch that up yourself, it's probably not going to work. But in the hands of the Master, amen, he can take that broken twig. He can take that broken branch. He can take that broken life, amen, that broken relationship, whatever the situation is. And with love and mercy and care, he can reattach that. Amen. I've seen people that are really, really good with plants, and I'll be able to even, that thing's hanging down. And I would look at it and I'd say, that thing's worthless. It's never going to produce anymore. But in the hands of the Master, in the hands of somebody who knows what they do, and they can prop that thing back up. Sometimes they'll wrap it and that thing begin to grow back. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Church, isn't that great? Because there's people that are broken out there. There's people even that are some of our loved ones have been broken, and instead of casting them by the wayside, amen, wouldn't it be good if we led them to the Master and the Master took them and joined them back to the vine, praise God, and was able to abide in his love again. The Bible says also, ask. Now this is if we stay attached, okay? This is if we're staying attached and becoming a part of that vine. And whatever you do, whatever the situation is, don't become detached. Don't become unattached to the vine. Because if you do, then you're not going to be able to produce the fruit. You're not going to be able to grow. You're not going to be able to get the nourishment that Christ is talking about spiritually. But if you do stay attached, if you do remain, if you do endure, if you do persevere, Jesus says, ask and it shall be done unto you. Amen. You know, let me tell you something about being attached to the Spirit of God. You can ask in greater faith. Amen. It's hard. It's really, really honest. Think or hard, and I'm going to be honest with you. So many times, if we really felt like we hadn't been pleasing unto the Lord, and we haven't been dedicated, and we haven't been committed unto Him, it's very difficult sometimes for us to ask of the Lord. Because we're asking in an embarrassed situation. We're asked so many times ashamed. And we're asking because we realize that we're unworthy of His grace and unworthy of His mercy and even unworthy of Him answering our prayers. But if we've remained attached, amen, if we have become a strong part, amen, and abiding in Christ's love, and we persevered and we've remained and we've endured and we've produced that fruit for the blessing and the glory of God. You understand, it's not about First Pentecostal Church. It's not about for greater gain. It's all about Him. It's not about us, Brother Keith. It's all about Him. Whatever we do, you know, when you sing a song, you're not singing it for Brother Eddie. You're singing it for the Lord. Amen. When you put money in the offering, you're not doing it for Brother Eddie. You're doing it for the glory of God. When you stand and testify, you're doing it so God can get the honor and the glory. And if we do these things, the Bible says we can ask and it shall be done. You ought to put your hands together for that. Amen. But in order to ask, you gotta ask with faith. And it's so much easier to ask with faith when we are attached to the vine. I'm going to stay attached. Regardless of how hard the wind blows, regardless of how bad the storm gets, regardless of how bad I feel or how weakened I get, I've got to stay attached to the Lord. I've got to stay attached to, because He says, I am that true vine. Amen. And when we stay attached, you know what that means? Not giving up. Not quitting. Amen. Not throwing your hands up and say it's not worth it. Amen. You got to hold on. You got to hold on as your spiritual life depends on it. So the Bible says, ask and it shall be unto you if you abide in me. Isn't that amazing? Because there is something there also to let us know there's something that Christ will do on his part, but he asks us to do something on our part. And you think about it, it ought to be the easiest thing to do. And the last thing that I want to talk about in that particular thing is the word continue. Continue. You know, doing it one time is not continue. My trainer back there tells me that. You got to continue. You know, you can work out for 2 weeks and get to feeling pretty good, but if you don't continue, you know. And that's the hard thing, is to continue, you know, because so many times we can go to the Lord in prayer and we have a good prayer, but we need to continue in prayer. We can open the Word of God, and how many knows there's times we open the Word of God and just like nothing is around us, there's no hindrance, there's no obstacles, we're just reading and gleaning the Word of God. But then there's other times when we're trying to read the Word of God and study, and there's all these interruptions around us, but we got to continue. Amen. We got to continue to work. We got to continue to produce fruit. We got to continue to stay in the Word. We got to continue to stay on our knees and at the will of God in our life, because if we do this and continue in love, amen, we can be productive. And Jesus says, continue in my love. And that means there's another request too. Keep my commandments. Continue in love and keep my commandments. Let me tell you something. We ought to consider as born again Christians a privilege to keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen. It ought to be an honor for us to be able to say, Lord, yes, I want to keep your commandments. I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to make a conscious effort to keep your commandments. Verse 9 really intrigues me. And I not only did I highlight it, but I put a little star by it. And I want to read it to you because this certainly it stirs something within me. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And I thought about that. Lord, why would you have to encourage? Why would you have to request or make this statement to ask those followers, those disciples, those closest to him, to continue in my love? Why would that need? It looks like that would be unnecessary to say, except that Christ knew that as great as our desires was, as great as our intentions were, there would be occasion. There would be time when many of those followers, and it was so true when he hung on the cross of Calvary. It was so true, amen, even with Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. And he did it 3 times. Even our greatest intentions, even our willingness to say, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. How many knows there's occasions that come? And when those occasions come, so many times we forget our promises to God. We forget our dedication to the Lord. We forget our commitment. It's not that we've backslidden and glossed out with the Lord. It's just that we've lost some little bit of desire, and it's not because God quit loving us. It's just we forgot how to live in God's love. We forgot how to abide in God's word. We forgot how to remain and endure and persevere, amen, in his love. So as he says that, I was reminded of a chapter, and I want us to go there tonight in Revelation chapter number 2, because this goes hand in hand with what Christ was talking about. You know, I would imagine that as the disciples were listening to Christ, they were human like us, and they did not have the ability to see the future or even acknowledge the future as Christ did. Christ constantly was telling them, I won't be with you always. They're going to tear the temple down, and in 3 days. And they didn't know he was talking about himself, and they couldn't comprehend until after the fact. But Jesus was telling them, no, you think now that you're going to abide in the vine. You think now that nothing will ever separate you from my love. You think now that you would never walk away there. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some times in your life. It's going to be very difficult to hold on to that vine. It's going to be very difficult to remain dedicated and rooted and grounded in the love of God and in the work of God. There's going to be some times you don't see those coming. You don't realize it now because you're being blessed. You're with me. You're walking with me. But there's going to be some times when you're going to have to remain and you're going to have to endure and you're going to have to persevere just to hold on, amen, to keep from slipping away and not abiding in my love. And I was thinking about John the Revelator as he wrote to the churches in the second chapter. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, I want us to look at this real close because the thing here, if you read this, it sounded like the church of Ephesus was pretty obedient, and they were. It sounded like they were in the will of the Lord, and they were. But he goes on to tell them, and we'll find out that he has somewhat against them. He said, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Let me just remind us tonight, it doesn't matter what we tell the Lord we've done. He knows our works. Doesn't matter, amen, when we proudly proclaim how much fruit that we have produced or what we have done, because God knows our works. He knows our good things. We don't have to constantly remind him. And he also knows when we slip. He also knows when we let go. So I know thy works. And listen to this. I know thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So far, so good. Yeah. He's very complimentary of the church of Ephesus. He's very complimentary about their works and about their fruit and about what they've been able to do and what they love and what they abhor. They like goodness. They are against evil. They are against false prophets. And he's telling all of those things. And he says, has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. All of those are complimentary things that the church has done. So what is that? That's that branch that time and time and time again, they're producing fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit, and everything looks well and everything looks good. But then he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Is it possible that we get so caught up in our works that we forget about the love of Christ? Is it possible that we get so caught up in our desires and what we have accomplished and what the Lord has blessed us with, that many, many times we fail to give recognition to the Lord and we lose that first love? And that first love is always, and you hear me say it time and time again, I say it more for my benefit than I do for the congregation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then, everybody say, and then he'll add these other things. So many times we get it backwards. We want the other things added first, and then we'll seek the will of God. And many, many times we'll try to bargain with God. Lord, if you'll just do this, then I'll do that. Lord, if you'll just answer this prayer, then I'll be more dedicated. Or why don't we do it the other way? Lord, I'm going to be more dedicated whether you answer that prayer or not. God, I'm going to be committed to you. I'm going to hold on to the vine. I'm not going to let go. I am going to remain. I'm going to endure. And I'm going to persevere through every storm, through every trial. There is nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. Because I can't lose my first love. I cannot lose my first love. If I lose my first love, then everything that has been accomplished up to this point, amen, is really worthless. It's not, because the most important thing is where I'm going to spend eternity. And I want my soul to be right. Amen. There's a song that says, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. nothing here to hinder me. So Revelation 2:1-4 may shed a little light as to the reason that the Lord was so concerned, or we become so concerned with our works that we have left our first love. And I don't want to get specific here, and I'm not going to get specific, but sometimes in church directories, maybe church literature, so many times, and I think it's a subtle thing. I don't really think that it's done really that we're unthankful. I think it's just a subtle thing. We're so thankful and we're so proud of what God's blessed us with, and that's good. That's wonderful. But so many times, it's like the church is Ephesus. They've done all of those things right. They've persevered. They've worked. They've produced fruit. They've been against evil. They've kept His commandments. They've been patient. They've been faithful. But they've left their first love. They walked away. Amen. Let me remind you. You remember how loving you felt when you came to that altar as a sinner and you walked away as a Christian, as a saved person. You gave your life to... You remember the overwhelming sense of love that you had? Amen. And I began to think about that. You know, we all say that we love the Lord. We all say that. You can ask just about anybody you want to, do you love the Lord? But is He your first love? Is He your most important love? Is He the main thing that everything else in your life centers around? And the Lord checked me on that this week. You know, many, many times we're so caught up in doing this and doing that. And many, many times, you know, you'll ask somebody, are you a Christian? You know, first thing they tell you, yeah, I go to church. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If going to church made you a Christian, I'd lay the microphone down and I'd go drag people to the church house. Amen. But the church, you can be lost sitting in a congregation. Right. Amen. And you know, and please understand what I'm about to say. Because as pastor, I love this church. I love you. That's what the church is. This is a building, okay? This is a building. Even though it's been dedicated to God, even though every pew's been anointed, even though every parking space has been anointed, whether you realize it or not, when you park your car in a parking space out there, it's been anointed and given to the Lord. But in saying all of that, and saying every bit of that, the building is not holy. It's the children of God. You are the church, and I love you, and I appreciate each and every one of you. But understand what I'm about to say. The church cannot be our first love. Christ has to be our first love. But I want to tell you something. When Christ is your first love, you've even got that much more love for the church. Because Jesus says, as my Father has loved me. And imagine the love that the Father gave to Him. How much more does He love us? John 3:16. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the love. We can't walk away from it. We can't be detached from that. We can't just say, Lord, I'm just going to go on my own. We cannot do that. We have got to abide. And in order to abide, we got to remain. We got to endure. And we got to persevere. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Are you going to remain in His love? May God bless you. Love you so very much. I appreciate you coming out on Wednesday night. If you would stand as we prepare to dismiss, we want you to know that if you have an opportunity, if you have a need, if you want to bring it around, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Why don't we just bow our heads, every eye that's closed. Ask those that have a need of prayer, would you come forward tonight and let's pray. I believe in this. You know, the Bible says, anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if they're not able to be here, we can anoint a prayer cloth on their behalf. And this young man has a friend that's going into service, going overseas, I guess, to be in battle. So let's pray that God will protect you and keep you safe. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, God, on behalf of this young man, Lord, who's going into service, God, and Lord, we know, Lord, that there'll be treacherous and dangerous times, but God, your mercy and your grace can keep him safe. Father, let this prayer call be a reminder, God, that your Spirit goes with him. Father, we even know that your word says that you would let guardian angels encamp round about us. Father, we're holding on to that promise tonight. Bless this young man. Keep him safe from all harm and danger and bring him back safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know we appreciate it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
strength in her. God, I pray, Lord, that you would make her, Lord, that women's servant, that you would have her. God, I ask you to anoint her life. Bless her, strengthen her. Lord, give her what she desires right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Use her mightily under the glory of God. God, help us to remain, Lord. Help us to endure, Lord. Help us to persevere over every obstacle, over every trial, every situation, God, that we may become stronger. God, and be the willing servant that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Grant it, dear Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise
thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen. That is certainly our heart's desire, is to be what the Lord would have us to be. God bless you all. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of the week. Be prepared to be with us on Sunday if you can. Remember those who are in need of prayer tonight. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise His holy name. Praise God. What powerful words. The word, the scripture, and then what the Lord has given us is so strong and so true. I was, Brother Eddie, I'm not stepping on the message, but just something. I'm a counter sometimes. I just see numbers or see things. As we look through those 10 verses, he used I, my, or me. And I think I saw 14 times. I just kind of underlined them as Brother Eddie was going over them. Those are direct words from Christ. It's not a suggestion. It is a lifestyle. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. It's glad to see each and every one of you. Again, invite someone to church Sunday. Just make plans. And if you know, love to see each and every one of you. If you're not, but see you in Sunday school. Bring someone. We're going to really so hope you see something exciting in our Sunday school classes and something to look forward to. Because just like this tonight, as we break it down, and it's broken down by verses and by sentence and by each thought. And the references that we can do. All righty. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Just be careful as you leave. Look forward to seeing you at our next time. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your word. Dear Lord, we thank you for opening up our hearts and our minds, dear Lord. Not only that we hear, but dear Lord, we will abide, dear Lord, and we'll let it be the truth that we walk in. Lord, thank you for each and every person here in attendance. I ask you to bless them and their families. And, dear Lord, we ask now, dear Lord, for these prayer requests. Lord, we know you've answered them already. Lord, we know you're healing. Lord, we know you're saving. Dear Lord, you know you're protecting. And, dear Lord, you're bringing in the lost, dear Lord. And may we be about your business. May this house be about your business, dear Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, again, we ask you to continue to bless our ministries and our pastor and his family, dear Lord, and strengthen each and every one. In Jesus' most precious name, and we all say, amen, amen. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. Praise the Lord.